Peace be with you. Happy Friday, Hope College. Yes, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This is the resurrection tide, the age of the resurrection. The stone has been rolled away from the tomb, and it is good news. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. There's some other good news. We've got some prospective students. It's junior day here at Hope College. We're going to welcome you to Hope College. Welcome to our little family. It's great to have you here. Friends, we got 5 weeks together. We got 1 month. 1 month to study hard, to love each other, to worship with passion. This group of people will never be here in the same way again. Let's spend the next 5 weeks together and make us worthy of our name, Hope College. Amen? Amen. All right. Hey, this morning, it's my great pleasure to introduce one of our interns, Jeffrey Hubers. Jeffrey is a senior at Western Theological Seminary. He's just received a call as the associate pastor in youth at a church in Mitchell, South Dakota, right, home of the Corn Palace. So if anyone ever stops in South Dakota on the way to somewhere, you stop and you see Jeffrey. He's going to be preaching from our series in James. Would you please give Jeffrey a warm Hope College welcome?
Well, good morning, and please do stop and see us in South Dakota, because literally there's nowhere else to go. So I can own that. I'm from there. Hear the word of the Lord from James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted, your clothes are moth-eaten, your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure for the last days. Listen, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, it is almost cruel that today is April 1st, because this is one text that I would love to say April Fools after, and we could just laugh and be done with it. This text is a doozy. I admit that. There's nothing harder to say thanks be to God than after something so brutal, so harsh. And when I first read it, I did not like it. I wanted to turn away because I was uncomfortable with its address. But we have to train our ears and our hearts not to turn off at the words, come now, you rich people. Because let's face it, we hear that as the college crowd, as a graduate student, and think, this isn't talking to me. I've got student debt. I'm working a minimum wage job. My parents support me a lot. This isn't talking to me. But as Hebrews 4, verse 12 reminds us, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so this text cuts across time and space into our context here at Hope College. While originally James is speaking to upper-class citizens, to those who owned land and managed both slaves and laborers, the warning here is as real and necessary for the Christian community today as it was within the first century. Come now, you rich people, could be translated, come now, those of you with liberal arts education, those with vocational training and spiritual formation. So the problem within this text, similar to the rest of James, is that what is being lived out is drastically different than what has been proclaimed in the gospel. In this situation, it is not so much a lack of evidence in faith as it is an abundance of evidence in oppression and injustice. James is speaking to those in the community who have used their resources to maintain their own well-being and comfort at the expense of those whom they employed. Verse 4, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the laborers have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. This imagery that is used is strikingly similar to that of Abel's blood, crying out to God from where Cain had slain him in Genesis 4. So this is not a warning to be taken lightly, my friends. But still, what are we to do? There are very few of us, if any, who are landowners in the room. We do not have laborers working under us. So how does James speak to us? Two words that come to my mind are resources and privilege. I want to define privilege here as the access to resources. And please note that while these words, this sort of language, isn't used in the text, James is speaking to those with greater economic means, greater resources in the community. So I am a person with a lot of privileges, and I hear James talking to me. I know that he is warning me in this text. And as uncomfortable as that makes me, as much as I want to turn away, I know that this is the word of the Lord. I may not have held back anyone's wages, but I do have a wealth of resources. I have a bank account, a college education, soon to be a graduate degree. I have a roof over my head when I sleep at night, clean sheets on my bed, food in my refrigerator. I can worship wherever I want to, and no one is going to stop me. I can vote for whoever I want to, and no one is going to stop me from getting to the polls. These are powerful privileges, my friends, and they don't make me a bad person, and there's nothing wrong with them. But they are not mine to hoard, to use to maintain the status quo so that I can keep on in privilege, so that I can maintain my own security and comfort while others suffer in oppression and injustice. The good news has changed everything and has turned our former hearts of stone into hearts of flesh so that we can feel, so that we can hear. Jesus says this in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So although you may not feel like it, my friends at Hope College, you too have privileges. You too have a wealth of resources. We have access to resources here that the rest of the world can only dream of. Education, civil liberties, economic means. Part of what James is warning us here is that the danger of hoarding those resources to ourselves while the rest of our community suffers, the dilemma for the church, and particularly within the American context, is that we have to realize that a small minority of the world's population controls the majority of the world's resources. That minority is us. America is the 1%. The food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, so much of it comes at the expense of those laboring at home and abroad. So what Jesus points us to in Matthew 6, he asks this question. What do you love? What are you putting your trust in, resources or the kingdom of God? And then James takes this question of trust and applies it to the use of our resources. Verses 2 through 3, your riches have rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted and their rust will be evidence against you. Resources are not bad. But the question is, how will we use them? Are we going to use them to maintain our own sense of security and comfort? Or are we going to use them to respond to the good news that we have been given? Right now, for those of you who are graduating, and I know how it feels, this wild world of what's going to happen next. There's the temptation to go out and get a job, keep your head down, play it safe, pay your bills. And you know what? Then after I get everything I want, then maybe, yeah, then I'll give back. But perhaps there's another way. We could go out and embody the gospel. We could use this education that we have been given, this training, these skills, this knowledge to build for the kingdom of God, sharing our gifts with the world, with the church, living as salt and life in a world desperately in need. Our resources are not the issue here in this text. It's the question of how will we use them? James points out that to hoard these gifts, to hoard these treasures that we have been given, they will rot, they will rust, and it will be evidence against us. There will be a judgment against how we have used these gifts. Education is a gift. This time you have right now in this community, in this place, it is a resource that you have been given by God to go and to be light, to embody this gift. The reason James uses such strong language and warns us because we belong to Christ. Our security is not in how much we have, in the things that we have, but in the cross. We are called to emulate, to imitate the one who spread his arms wide to embrace the whole world. We have been called to share in this message of reconciliation, to give back as the one who gave us all. So we stand not to hold tightly to the things that we have, to the gifts that we have been given, but to have our arms wide, to share this message of love, to be loved as we have been loved. Do not store up treasures for the last days, because we are in the last days now. We stand between cross and resurrection. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. But until that day, what will you do with these gifts? What will you do with these resources? Will you hold them close, living in a sense of scarcity? Or will you live in the abundance of the gospel? Jesus has called us not to fear, but to flourishing, to abundant life. And that is the message that we share with the world. You're all going out and you're going to be physicians and scientists, engineers, teachers, artists, designers. What would it look like if you shaped your profession by the kingdom of God, by the kingdom of the cross, and not by the paycheck you received at the end of the month? So our challenge is to go, to be, and to share. Not in a posture of closed fists, not holding tightly to what we've been given, but arms wide, like the one we belong to, the crucified King. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.